Brian Gother. And if you lose them, I'm in the phone. Bill Goggins.
Here.
Laura Hine.
Here.
John Kapler.
Here.
Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Elsie Weber.
Here.
Rick Whitney.
Here. And just for the record, Brian called me tonight, and he said he couldn't make it because his mom has been visiting from the East Coast, and she has been in the hospital the entire time she's been visiting. She had some sort of restricted blood flow to her intestines, and so it's been an awful thing. And so he's trying to spend as much time with his mom as he can in the hospital. So that's where Brian is. So our agenda tonight, we have some minutes to approve, council member reports and comments, work program review, and then requests from the audience. And then we will have a special presentation, PSC Energize Eastside update, and we're going to... Okay, we had a few technical difficulties there. So, we have some minutes to approve, and starting with the, actually, let's, I would entertain a motion to dispense with the reading of the minutes.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Good, okay. So, starting with the March 24th minutes, and that was a meeting that I wasn't at, so I don't have any... thing to say about it. What do you guys have to say? Any additions or corrections?
I didn't find any.
I didn't find any.
Nope. Anyone want to move to approve?
I move to approve March 24th minutes.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor of approving the March 24th minutes? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Good. April 28th minutes.
I have a correction.
Okay.
I was not here for that meeting, and it says that I was absent, which is correct. But on the back, it said that I seconded a motion. Mm-hmm. I didn't.
Sure sounded like you, didn't it? Okay. Does anyone want to take credit for that?
No, but you can say I
did.
Who sounds the most like Betsy?
It might have been me.
Okay. We'll let the record show that it was Laura. With that correction, could we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Okay. And second. Moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Those are approved. May 22nd. And I don't know that we need to approve the Planning Commission's minutes. However, our meeting, which followed, probably should note, I would think, that it began at approximately 9:30 p.m. following our joint meeting with the Planning Commission.
Wow, I think that late, huh?
Probably want to note the time on that. Any additions or corrections other than that?
Well, I do have a correction if
okay.
That's the case. Because I showed up at 7:03, and if we had the other meeting after, it says that I was absent. And I thought the other meeting was before. I know there was one that I came and you'd have, but that was a different meeting. So I must have been present if I showed up at 7:03.
I would think that's a logical assumption.
I remember being there, and
yeah.
So that's.
So we
maybe it's just that I didn't show up in the members' presence, so I didn't get transferred over.
Mm,
yeah,
that's probably it.
Okay, so we want to correct that Laura Hine was present for that meeting. Any other additions or corrections? We have a motion to approve.
So moved.
Your second. Okay. Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, those are approved. Finally, June 26th minutes. Any additions or corrections?
No.
Move to approve?
Well, I would say our minutes typically show when the meeting begins, and
I think we
began the meeting at 7 o'clock, so I'd like it to show
it
that.
Show when we adjourned, so.
Yeah, it should reflect that the meeting began at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Any other additions, corrections? Motion to approve?
So moved.
Can I get a second?
Seconded.
Okay, it's moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, we're done with minutes. So.
There's one more.
Oh.
June 26th.
That was June 26th.
Oh. There were two May 22nds.
Yeah, we didn't.
Both.
You were looking at the Planning Commission's
Planning
minutes.
Commission reference only.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the 26th you just approved.
So, we have council member reports and comments. Anybody have anything they want to report? Betsy.
I'm here to report the 22nd annual
Houghton
Neighborhood Houghton. This will be the 22nd year. I haven't ever missed one yet.
Wow.
But we'll see if it happens next year. But anyway, just Labor Day neighborhood picnic, 11 o'clock, Terrace Park. Everybody's welcome.
Rain or shine, huh?
Rain or shine, and it'll be super fun. And then the other thing I wanted to maybe just add something to the agenda.
Okay.
I'd like to know when we're going to get a report or when we're going to be able to review the gateway feature at the transit-oriented development.
Well, it just so happens that John was going to comment on that tonight, so we'll let John speak on that. Any other member reports, comments? Bill, you look like you're about to say something. Nope. Okay. So before John says it, just so you guys know, John and I have had two meetings with Amy Wallen and Penny Sweet at the beach house, you'd be glad to know, for just to kind of touch base. They initiated it. I give them credit for that. And they just want to review how we're working together and issues that are coming before us, including the business district. And then they weren't even aware that we had any issues with the transit-oriented development at all. And so it definitely came up. And so with that, I'll let John say what he was thinking of about that.
Okay. Our group has discussed for several months now some of our questioning of what happened and why it happened. We brought that up in our meeting with the mayor and the deputy mayor. They were a little surprised as well. They hadn't heard of it. Rick and I explained what we thought some of the points were that we thought were amiss and that surprised us upon approval. The mayor said that she would look into it. She did have a conversation with staff. I certainly hope this is not surprising you, Eric. So what I did is I got the design guidelines and objectives that were a direct result of the neighborhood plan and highlighted the sections as well as the codified portion that talks about gateway as a goal, massing and modulation, the really objective terms like quality materials, etc., and the very objective terms like such and such a step back after such and distance, etc. And my comment was that, by the way, I also called Janice Coogan and discussed this with her. I let Janice know that they were just questions on my part so I could report back to you all, not for Janice to do anything at all, but I just wanted to make sure I had the proper information. Janice was helpful in getting me this. So I forwarded a copy off to the mayor and the deputy mayor. Our discussions with him was that the mayor is going to ask the questions, report back to Rick and myself, and then we'll bring that information to you. So we were asked not to do anything at this point. Rick and I tentatively agreed with that and thought that that would be okay. The city council is going to look at it. I have a copy of those salient points with me. I don't know if it'd be a good idea to, if you want what I sent over to the mayor with the highlighted pieces, maybe the best thing would be to send Nancy Cox tomorrow morning an email and get that, unless you want copies tonight, and then maybe
hang an email or behind. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, email.
So I think from my standpoint in looking at this was one thing that we should look at.
I was just going to say Nancy is out for the week, so if you want to email me, I'll see that if you're looking at something getting done, I'll
do that in the morning.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
One thing that Rick and I discussed was how do you get an idea of gateway, massing, modulation, step backs, and what is painted as a dream on a cute little sketch to to real brass tacks of a built physical piece of environment. How do you get those connected so we match expectations? Because what we feel our job on this council is sort of protecting what the citizens come up with as a neighborhood plan. That's very important to us. I think we've all discussed that. And nobody wants to be surprised, and that's what happened. So we said out loud that our faith in the process was rattled, and that we don't want to have tighter control. We want to rely on the system, but our faith in the system was shaken. And so that's that, I think, really helped the mayor and deputy mayor to want to continue to have conversations to make sure that we have a good working relationship. Okay. So with that said, if anyone feels, and I know we're past the announcement of agenda, but if anybody feels we need to discuss that any further, we probably should put it on the agenda and discuss it further. And if so, I'll put all that in an email and get it to Eric so he can get it disseminated to anybody. Did I miss anything?
No, other than I think there was kind of a consensus. We told them that we had talked about it, thought, well, at this point, we're not going to change the outcome, but let's see how it finishes. And then at that point, compare that with what we intended or what the direction we gave for the design guidelines, and then see it. So rather than jump in the middle of, while it's still under construction, we were thinking we'd wait until it was completed, and they kind of agreed with that, don't you think, John? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When did this all come up?
We've talked about it a couple times in the meeting. We're in past meetings where people were questioning how that's looking the way it is when it doesn't seem to conform with what we had given as far as the design guidelines.
With our group, it was about May when they started getting wood in the air.
Yeah.
As soon as the wood popped up in the air, I think you all got phone calls from constituents, mm-hmm. and we as a group said, mm-hmm. What?
What's going on?
So, and as you all know, I don't think I've been critical of this, but I've been outspoken about it because mm-hmm. I was very concerned about this the second it happened.
And I think that I can't remember going back. I'd have to look at notes and such. But when you said wood in the air, it was as soon as I think the part that's on the Kirkland side of that piece of property started getting underway, we realized that permitting had happened. There were details that had been approved that we hadn't gotten into the mix at all at that point. And it was sort of too late at that point because the permits were already on the way. And we were sort of told, well, that's too bad. That's the way it is. And then things really started showing up. And that's, I think, when we started getting, even though we were concerned, but we didn't really start hearing from neighbors until they started seeing stuff going up. And
let me ask a question.
Speak into the mic. Speak into the mic.
No. So basically what we're saying here is they're going to finish it the way they want to finish it.
Well, it was approved.
It won't be. I mean, if it gets finished, once it's finished, there are not going to be any knockdown changes.
There's not going to be any changes at this point. Once they've been permitted and it's under construction, we're not going to be able to change it.
Yeah. Well, I just want to make sure we understand this, guys.
Yep.
So my suggestion is that we not turn loose of our authority so easily for a design review in the future.
It's a logical consequence of things not working out the way that we expected. Okay.
We will report back when we get back from the...
Thank you very much, you guys, for doing that.
Well, I want to give credit to Mayor and Vice Mayor. Deputy Mayor, I think it was great that they're reaching out and initiating that. So.
Super.
Yeah, we brought this up and the meeting continued as opposed to being adjourned. So that's a...
Okay.
I'll mail this to you in the morning, Eric.
Anything on work program review for us, Eric? Okay. Any members of the audience care to address us? No? Okay.
Send us out a copy of that.
So, with that, now there's no special presentations, are there, Eric, other than Puget Sound Energy, right? Okay, well, let's get started with Puget Sound Energy.
Thank you.
And just to let you know now, Andy did a fabulous job when he came the first time and gave us the full overview.
I am no Andy.
I'm only saying that I think what we were looking for, we'd gotten some feedback from constituents showing concerns about the route coming through Houghton or through Kirkland, and mm-hmm. they were looking for us to maybe be involved in the process and let our opinions be known on this. And I said, you know, at this point, let's just get an update on where things are at, and then we'll decide whether we do anything from there. So we're really just looking, where are you guys at in the process, and do you have any kind of directions to where you think it's going to end up?
Okay.
Okay.
So, can you get organized here? I'm Leanne Kostek. I'm the senior project manager for the Energize Eastside project.
Okay.
Just a quick overview, and I will go through these slides pretty quickly. Again, Energize Eastside growth is straining our transmission system on the east side. And when we refer to the east side, it's pretty much from Redmond south to Renton, and from Lake Washington kind of almost all the way to the Sammamish Lake, Lake Sammamish. Our conservation is key to our core, our company core. We meet our goals every year, but conservation alone will not solve our problems. We need to act now. We're working with the community, and that's what we'll give you an update in a couple minutes about. And we're new technologies, which seems to be a push from our constituents, is not mature enough to solve our problem, but they are part of our solution. Growth. The Puget Sound Regional Council came out with new updated numbers from the numbers that they produced in the fall, with Kirkland growing at 31%. Is what the predicted population growth is, and employment will grow by 72%. This is our demand curve. The solid line in the graph is what we believe our customer demand will be, is projected from 2012 through 2022. The dashed line in the middle is where our equipment is the capacity that our equipment can serve today. And when those two lines cross, here in the middle, about 2018, that's when we start running, we'll have to run our system less reliable. And what does that mean? Is when we have a situation that we lose a piece of equipment, the ability to serve, so say the transformer here in South Kirkland in Houghton, downtown Houghton, we lose that transformer. If that was to be lost, you know, we have the ability to feed it from a different direction. And so what that happens is what in 2017, 2018, what will happen is that ability to serve it from a different direction will be lost, and it will just be less reliable. That's
Please don't take this the wrong way, but yep. Everything you're showing us, except for the update in the employment yep. and population numbers, these are slides that we got with okay. Andy. So
moving along.
We don't need to have a rehash of the same information that we've already received.
Okay. So this is our schedule, and so this is public involvement.
Okay,
so this is the update. So in the winter, we educated our CAG, our community advisory group. Ron Jammerman from staff is a CAG member representing the city of Kirkland on our community advisory group. So in the winter, we educated them. Through the spring, we had sub-area meetings, which for the Kirkland portion was the north area. We met both with segment C and B, and that was kind of 520 north. We had a central area and a south area. We had three meetings to gather community input. We presented that community input to the CAG back in June. In June, they had a series of three meetings. Looking at all the data, they were able to reduce 18 routes that we had to 11 routes, and we'll go over that shortly. In the summer, September 10th and 11th, we'll have our next set of open meetings, open houses, which one will be in Redmond and the other one will be in Renton. And then in the fall, following those up, the CAG reconvenes on October 1st and 8th. And then they'll hopefully take that 11 down to fewer routes. And then we'll take those routes that they recommend out in November for more community input. And then in December, they'll make their final recommendation. So this is the work that they've done. I'm not sure if Andy had shown you this map, but on this side, this is all of our segments, starting at Sammamish. It comes up to A, which is about 132nd Avenue. It then follows 132nd, goes by the two schools, down 80th, winds through the neighborhood, comes down 116th, crosses over 520, and that in Kirkland ends at about 60th, correct? So this is the part that you're most interested in.
If I read this correctly, I think we're done. It looks like Route B has been excluded.
It has not.
Oh.
It has not. So the routes, so there are 11 total, so this is the first four.
Oh, okay.
This is the first four.
All right.
And then the next four.
Okay.
So B is still available in Pine. And B is still in Sycamore. So I believe it remains in two of the...
It's also in Cherry.
Yes, in two.
Oh, that's not recommended. Never mind.
So the routes that aren't recommended are... B, C, and D. So B and C, it's either an either or, and since there was 18 of them and we remained with 11, most of the routes still have C engaged, but we do have two routes with B.
Okay. Well, it's nice that you have excluded four of the B routes out of the seven.
Yep.
And there's only two remaining out of the remaining 11 routes, right?
That is correct.
So that bodes well. People who don't want to see it coming right through. Okay.
So here are the comments from where we've been receiving them. This is a map of we record every comment we get, whether it's a comment or question. This is a reference pretty much in Kirkland, those that have come through Kirkland. There's a high concentration along the south end of 116th. We had also went out to the community and did a walkabout with the neighborhoods down there. Which I think was very helpful to the community to understand what our plans were and how it would impact their neighbors. And most of our neighbors that we do the walkabouts with are really appreciative of us going out and doing that. We also did a walkabout on the north part, which I did not participate up on North Rose Hill, and a lot of questions were had there. Here are our comments that we've been receiving. Route segments tend to be the most... prolific questions that we get. Community character, wanting to keep the same, don't change our neighborhood is a common theme we hear from our neighbors. Property values is also a big issue and the impact the line may have on the property values. Schools is a high issue because of the three schools we do go by on Route B. And then you can see the rest from there.
Is it going to be possible for us to get copies of these slides?
They should be.
Are they in there? Oh, okay.
They should be already in your presentation.
I didn't get into that. I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. Staying focused on my
perfect
on myself. The EIS, the Environmental Impact Statement, we have made some movement on that. We submitted our paperwork. City of Bellevue is taking lead agency. They are working with the other jurisdictions, which include Kirkland, Redmond, Newcastle, and Renton in King County. And they are working on an interlocal agreement. The group has been made up of three tiers, worker bees, the staff, and then there's the legal beagles get involved. And the City of Bellevue is looking to be in scoping in January. How do we stay involved? There's the calendar, visiting our webpage, the community advisory group. Our open houses, again, are September 10th and 11th. Questions, comments. There are some new things on our webpage that we have sliders. If you go to our map, you can pull up photo sims along Route B. Any questions?
Questions.
I just have my perennial question. You said at the outset, it's in the slides, that new technologies are not mature enough to solve this, but you are including them as part of the solution. In what way are those new technologies being included as part of the solution?
So what we have is, I'm speaking particularly in solar panels, and our commitment to solar panels outreaches to the community is part of our conservation numbers. So when we talk about conservation, that's a big bucket of stuff that's included. That's energy efficiency work, that's solar panels, wind, if people want to put a little windmill in their neighborhood. That's all part of our conservation, our non-wires number that we try to achieve every year.
And how are you reaching out to the community about that sort of thing? Because I haven't seen anything in my bill or gotten any flyers about, you know, what is PSE doing to bring solar power to Kirkland? I haven't seen anything of that nature.
I believe our flyers, and we have outreach. We can get you the material that we have used. Mm-hmm. I'm unfortunately not an electric customer, Puget Sound Energy, but I know we do reach out. We have a group. Solarize Bellevue is another organization that we're engaged with. Our energy efficiency team is engaged with.
I'm familiar with Solarize Bellevue, and I'm wondering why there's not a Solarize, you know, Kirkland, Redmond, Eastside, whatever. Yeah.
Eastside. I am not sure on how that group. Nate, do you have any information on that?
So we have a guy who does. His name is Will Chin, and does outreach.
I'm sorry. What's the name?
Will Chin, and we'll get you in touch. We'll talk to Will tomorrow morning. There's an energy, as Leanne was mentioning, energy efficiency outreach team that we have as a component of our company. Actually, Andy Wappler has overseen that department as well and kind of spoke to that earlier when we were here a couple months ago. But there's a lot of different types of programs that we do, both in terms of residential and business. And happy to participate and engage the city of Kirkland in that moving forward. One thing the city of Kirkland has also done, which I was here earlier for this year, was the Green Power Challenge as well, which is also coordinated through our Energy Efficiency Department. It's a challenge that the company does with several cities each year across our 11-county service territory, and city of Kirkland was met a certain threshold and goal and was able to be awarded with the $20,000 grant from PSC towards the use of a solar panel here locally.
Excellent. Do we know what's happening with that? No? Okay. Just curious. Love to know.
Yes.
Hi. I wasn't here for the first presentation, so I apologize if this is redundant question.
No,
but
go ahead.
Just a question on this graph with the demand.
Sure.
Okay. It says that it, you know, your customer demand assumes 100% of conservation goals are met, and I don't want to parse this too deeply, but I'm just wondering, does that also include, like, all, you know, people who are independently going to be adding solar panels, electric cars are going to be plugged in, LED light bulbs. I mean, that there's so many variables here. I mean, this is such a steady incline, and I just didn't know if it included all those things or if it was just sort of like a reasonable trajectory. Oh, you've got more information.
I didn't get one.
Oh,
no, just another thing. Yes. Thank so you. When we say our conservation goals will be met, that is all included, and that's our energy efficiency team lumps all of that from a projected standpoint on based on past participation, what our goals are and their program goals. So it is all included. We have yet not to meet our goals.
Well, I'm not necessarily thinking about your goals. I'm thinking about people who independently put up solar panels and do all these things. I mean, is that taken into the...
Yes.
Okay.
You mean, so light bulbs, we take a certain percentage of the light bulbs we may give out in free events when we did Rock the Bulb 2 summers ago and gave
away...
Well,
I'm just thinking they're going to stop making incandescent.
Right.
So LEDs are going to be the thing. Is that going to save enough energy?
No.
Is that reflected in here, you know?
So the energy based on our conservation goals are reflected in here.
On your PSC's conservation goals,
which would include the view that LEDs will be transitioned to the standard light bulb.
Okay.
Will become the standard light bulb.
Okay. Thank you.
John?
Yes.
I have sort of three big questions that are tied together. The first one's a follow-up on Betsy's question about conservation. When I went through the first packet after the first presentation, there was I didn't see a connection between growth in numbers of people. You'd mentioned 31% growth mm-hmm. in Kirkland. So the people growth, the use growth, that comparison, versus the conservation change that happens. Even though you're saying conservation won't do it alone, I didn't see a relationship between people growth, use growth. Those aren't compared anywhere. If we're growing 31%, is the use growing 31%, 20%, 60%? What's your expected use versus equipment besides light bulbs? That, let me ask the second question so you can tie that together for me. And then I saw a big disconnect in all the material where you discuss we're doing this so we have a closed loop in the route, but it didn't tie together with the use going through the pipeline, because even if you close the loop in the route, there's the same availability in that close. It's just a closed loop now instead of an open loop. And does that loop help you push more stuff through the pipe? So those are the first two questions kind of together, and then I'll let you answer that, and then I'll ask the third.
Okay, so we'll kind of talk about the latter part, the capacity that we have. Uh-huh. So the capacity we have is we have four transformers that convert 230 kV electricity to 115 kV electricity. And 115 is what you see in your neighborhoods today. That's what feeds our substations that then feed, that take the distribution down and feed our local neighborhoods. So along 106th, you see a high line with the little, you see a high line along 106th that continues over to our Norkirk substation. That's the 115 system. And the 115 system is fed by four transformers, two transformers that are at Talbot on the south end, and we have two transformers at Sammamish. And the problem that we're having is when capacity exceeds, when the demand exceeds the capacity of those four transformers, they begin to redline. And the best way I can describe that is at 90%, the check engine light comes on the transformers. Is the best way I can describe that. And you know, if you run your car with the check engine light on too long, you know, I mean, you're going to run it to failure. So what we're looking at is that 90%, when that check engine light comes on those transformers, that's when we need to start planning for the future. And the future is really, we need another transformer in this blue box. And that's represented on this slide with the white triangles, which is for now Westminster and Lakeside. And the need is really that transformer. But to make that transformer...
For capacity.
And to make that transformer work is to build a new 230 line, because we have to step the electricity down to 115, and the higher voltage is at 230.
And that's the loop.
And that's what closes the loop. Does that make sense?
Got it.
Okay. So back to what's included in the capacity question and the growth. So we have a team of economists, forecasters that look at all of that. They look at the growth of new housing, how the new housing market, I mean, both commercial and single family homes, and they do an analysis every 2 years on what our forecast will be. And within that forecast, they look at the growth of people, the growth of, I mean, what's going to get built, either with what's been on, what's currently on the books with developers, with jurisdictions that may be on the books, anticipating how many people would be with this growth, using the data from the Puget Sound Economic Council. With that data, they have the ability to interpret that into load. And that's what we use. And what we did for the East Side growth is we took our system growth, took that load, and then looked specifically at where we saw known projects that have either been permitted or highly likely to be permitted in the various jurisdictions. And then we put that spot load to develop the graph. Oops, wrong way. To develop this graph. So this graph is just for the East Side. So we looked at all the substations, the 18 substations that feed the East Side, and we looked at that and kind of put in some spot loads that we knew that were coming. Does that answer your question on capacity and the tide?
Well, it was an explanation. You have growth in people, growth in households, growth in the business. I mean, so many people think there's such a big play on changing light bulbs, but nationally, lighting is only 7% of the energy consumption of a house. It's mm-hmm. I mean, it's a giant number nationally, but it's a small slice of the pie. Your forecasters are just throwing what they believe is going to happen into the mix and coming up with a solution, I guess, is the short answer.
Right, and they have tools. You know what I mean? I mean, they have robust forecasting tools that they use. They use an outside firm to validate their numbers on how that all gets merged together. It's kind of like sausage making. All the data goes in, and based on growth, you mean economic growth, you know, I mean looking at the indicators of where Wall Street may be going, kind of where the economy is going, all of that gets factored into what our projected load growth is going to be.
Basically, a hedge fund manager is doing it. Okay. then the third question, and I didn't see anywhere in the previous packet either, is the cost ramification of the difference of the routes and what that might do on customer rates. That didn't seem to be part of the discussion in anything that I read.
So where it is...
It was just pick a route and write a comment on which you like better with no there wasn't anything at all that said this route's more expensive than that route because of easements, et cetera. Did I miss something?
You did not. So in tonight's packet, there's an 11 by illegal size piece of paper with some green stuff on it. If we could pull that out, I'll walk you guys through that. Got it. So these are the evaluation factors that both the community developed at our subcommittee meetings and that the community advisory group then used to rank the various routes. And if you look through this, this is we have both residential tax accounts, which is looked at a factor was called avoid residential areas. So it listed all of the 18 routes and basically gave you what that factor was. Other things that they looked at was residential use. The questions that you specifically are asking, I believe, are at the back end. We looked at longevity. So this is the data that we provided to both groups, both the community group and then the advisory group, to develop. This is what they used to wean the 18 routes down to the 11 routes that they were moving forward with.
Is there any prioritization on, I mean, you've got a lot of different factors here, but I can't believe that they're all of equal weight.
Good segue. So what they're going to do at their October meeting, they're doing a modal analysis, multi-objectional modal. I forgot. Decision.
A modal analysis.
Yes, a modal. So they're doing that, and that's where they've actually taken their test, and they've weighted the 9 factors. So in October, on the October 1st meeting, they'll come back and look at those factors and deem if that's really representative of what they're hearing from the community, what they hear from their constituents. That's what they'll weight. There are 9 factors. The leading factor at the moment is avoiding residential homes, is what the number one factor came
avoiding
in.
Residential what?
Homes.
Residential areas.
You had a question about in regards to cost, and so on the back of the second page shows the cost breakdown.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I like our chances. When you look at residential and costs, we're not a highly rated route. Yes.
Just another question that's not specifically pertinent to this, perhaps, but might be part of the mix, and that is the I've seen a lot of incentivizing by PSE for people to put in natural gas on-demand water heaters or various things. And I'm just wondering what PSE is that included in the conservation of electricity, or are you lumping all energy into that conservation? Because I'm presuming that this is electricity only that you're looking at here. So are you looking to offset that by increasing transfer over to natural gas for those things that natural gas can perform?
Yes, and gas conversions are part of this number. That assumes that's the whole bucket of conservation.
Okay, because that is a concern, especially since we're considering also trying to reduce our consumption of fossil fuels. Natural gas is one of the contributors to that equation. So the two
it's a balancing act
taken into consideration. And I hope that PSE is also looking at reducing its dependency on fossil fuels as well as.
We are.
Other questions? I do have one. I'm rather surprised that in a relatively short time, the projections for employment increased 50% from 47 to 72, and the projections for population growth went up 20% from 26 to 31%. It tends to make you question the I don't know how reliable these. I know it's projections, but those are big swings.
Is that the potential? Excuse me for interrupting, Rick. But
yeah.
Are those the potential numbers versus the projected numbers, at Mr. Shields?
Well, the number for Kirkland. Let's see. That's regional. That's a population number. Is that right?
Yes.
31%. What I can say is that our projections. Well, our targets. Our growth targets. First of all, to sort of answer Rick's question, they are more heavily weighted on employment. Our growth targets are much more employment weighted. Whether or not that will happen that way is a question, but we will need to provide the capacity for that to happen in the future. Now, is 31% by what year is that?
2040.
So we're looking at 2035, and we're looking at about 8,500 households. And we have about 35 About 30,000 right now. So I don't know what that comes out to in terms of that. That's probably not inconsistent with that.
So this is Nate Comitos. I do local government affairs for Puget Sound Energy, and I met with Puget Sound Regional Council last summer. They had done their 2040 forecast or their 20-year forecast for the first time since 2006. So as we were getting ready to roll out the Energize East Side public engagement outreach project, we were noticing that the numbers and the process of what Leanne walked through in terms of how we're forecasting and preparing our system for future growth, that Puget Sound Regional Council was doing this also in conjunction on their own merits. And that 2040 forecast is done in coordination with every single jurisdiction in each of the four counties in the Puget Sound region. So they were attempting to try and get that report done last spring, but they wanted to make sure that every data point and number they had was similar and parallel to each of the data points of every jurisdiction throughout the four counties. So that was released last October. And when we started on doing some of these presentations earlier in the year, we had shown some of their percentage numbers that they had done. And you'll notice that there is a difference slightly, and we put the updated annotation of saying that this was something that they had updated this earlier this summer in terms of forecasting. And those were used with different yet similar data tables, and so those numbers are slightly different. But there was an increase, essentially, in every jurisdiction. I think in one part of Redmond, it actually stayed the same or went down by single points. But Kirtland, Bellevue, Newcastle, Renton, Issaquah all saw different increases. If you'd like, we're more than happy to put you in touch with the folks who work on this at the PSRC. You can explain that further.
It was of interest to me, but I don't know that it really is something that we need to dwell on.
What I can say is, you can see it all around, but growth is happening.
Yeah.
And there's the trends are serious when it comes to growth right now.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
So, Council, I presume you guys saw we got some emails from a couple of constituents expressing concerns about this and wondering if we were going to take a position on it, and I just said we'll put it on the agenda to get an update and then we can discuss it at that time. It seems to me that, they've got a process that seems to be working quite well, and from what I can read into it based on their criteria, I think it's looking very likely that we're not going to see it coming through Kirkland. That Route B doesn't look very likely to me, so I don't know that we need to do anything more than just let the process work.
And keep an eye on the process.
Yeah. So with that...
And encourage people to participate in the process.
Absolutely, yeah. That obviously is a big factor. Okay. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We really appreciate you taking the time to come out tonight.
Thank you.
All right. With that, we'll move on to the citizen amendment requests. Angela. And you can be as brief as you want. I presume we've all read the materials, and it seems pretty much a slam dunk. But
okay, all right. Well, I will.
Just give us a real quick overview.
I will be brief then. If I can get this to open. There we go.
Angela, we're presuming you've worked very diligently on this, and we would like nothing but the best of the full labors of your efforts. So please ignore Rick and go at it.
Oh, now that's confusing. We'll do a little of both.
You can also understand that you don't like to stay out too late at night with us. So.
Okay, that's 2-1, and I'm liking it. Okay, we'll stop right there.
Anyway. Let me ask you this. Do you like cactus? Okay, move on.
All right. So you all know that we're updating our comp plan, and as part of that process, we requested people to submit applications for the citizen amendment requests, and we received 31. And three of those are in your jurisdiction, in Houghton. So just briefly, as I put in the memo, the Planning Commission and the City Council both agreed that we should go forward with 20 of them, and 9 of them should not go forward at this time. One of those is in Houghton. And then there were the two for the Houghton Shopping Center area that they wanted more information on. So I included the packet that we sent to the Planning Commission for you so you could see what the staff analysis of it. And you want me to go through the sites real quick?
We know the sites.
Okay,
the
site. All right. Yeah. That's fine. It's, you know, and
that was pretty quick.
I know. Did you know them? I knew you were just... All right, and then we had various options, but I think we're just going to just cut to the chase here. Okay, so we went to the Planning Commission on the 14th of August, and we gave the staff recommendation of how we should go forward. And I should mention that you've, I know, received a number of emails on this. We've also heard in the past the concerns of both the Central Houghton and the Everest neighborhood about this, the process and what they wanted to see happen. So staff recommended and Planning Commission agreed with this recommendation that we defer this CAR, both of the CARs for the Houghton Everest neighborhood until the Everest neighborhood plan could be updated. And just a reminder, as you saw in your packet, that was part of the Central Houghton plan. It said that you would work with the Everest neighborhood. And then, but we also recommended part of this comp plan update was to look at the various business districts in the city. And so the recommendation was to look at those business districts, but any policies or goals that would be written would be more general to the city, not specific to the Central Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center. So let's see what else.
Andrew, could you give me some specific examples of what you mean by those? Because even something very general could have some ramifications if it's like, oh, well, you know, the comp plan was amended to say that.
Right, and I guess we could we show some that are in there now, maybe? I mean, there's quite a few policies in the comp plan existing. Is there a comp plan there? I'm just trying to think of an example.
I'll just throw out some thoughts here, too. I think that we're talking about looking at what might be the role of neighborhood business districts in accommodating some of the growth, and to what extent could there be mixed use in some of these business districts. I think we already have policies, and we're talking about reinforcing those that are talking about emphasizing the importance of maintaining neighborhood services in those districts, grocery stores, drug stores, restaurants, or things that serve the neighborhood. So I envision those being possibly intensified, but some discussion perhaps of the possibility for mixed use in those centers and maybe more walkability for the surrounding neighborhood and that sort of thing. But to avoid things like five stories or specific numbers of stories and that sort of thing at this point in time. Now, having said that, we are modeling some alternatives in our EIS, and one of those will likely be an alternative that will direct some of the growth to neighborhood business districts. So we'll test that out. It's just a model. It's just a test. And then it'll give us more information so we can have some discussion about whether or not that's an appropriate thing to do and what the pros and cons of that would be.
But would that sort of a policy specify anything about how much growth would go? I mean, it's one thing to say you could have some housing in a neighborhood business district, and it would be another thing to say you must have 80% of.
Well, I don't envision it that way. I mean, I can't predict what will come out of the process because obviously it's the Planning Commission, ultimately the City Council will make decisions like that. But I'm hoping to avoid that so that we're not putting you and others in a box to where when we get to the neighborhood plans, there's not much choice. So,
there's different, neighborhood plans are different neighborhoods. So, I mean, some accommodate it better than others. So, to have too broad of a policy. I
totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Andrew,
yes.
You guys are just making me talk here. I do not think of a neighborhood center the same as a business center.
And I should have said neighborhood business district. There's a title for that area specifically. And when we say business center, that if I said business center or business
it's
district.
It's neighborhood center.
Neighborhood center. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, getting confused here. The Central Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center, that's the title for it. It's not a business district.
Right. Okay.
Sometimes we throw that around by accident, but yeah. That was not the correct term.
That is an important distinction that we always want to maintain.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Things happen.
Doesn't this kind of, the way this is written, though, I mean, it looks like they're interchangeable. The way that that's written, it seems to imply that evaluate business districts with the comp plan EIS, but only consider amendments to the general business district policies, defer neighborhood-specific policies for future studies. So it's kind of implying that they're one and the same.
I would say that the neighborhood centers are a type of a business district.
Yeah.
They are a specific neighborhood-serving business district, but they are, in my view, a business district.
A type, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I almost would go one step further. Perhaps you implied this, and we certainly have, that specific neighborhood centers are extremely specific to neighborhoods, almost to the extent of having spot zoning for a particular neighborhood center. And I know jurisdictions hate spot zoning, but I think it's completely appropriate, completely appropriate. And I don't know what term, you know, I'd like to enforce that a little further, that it is specific to this neighborhood. It's not just a neighborhood district. It's a specific neighborhood district.
Well, I agree with that. In fact, that's been our one might argue Kirkland's gone overboard in that regard. But for example, Juanita Business District has its own set of
rules. We have lots of PLAs, don't we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we have lots of business districts. We have, you know, Totem Lake Business District, Downtown Business District, Rose Hill Business District. Interestingly, Houghton does not have a Houghton Business District zoning.
Right.
It has a BC zoning, which is a legacy from long ago. So I think once I would say once we get back to the neighborhood plan or the business district or the neighborhood center plan, however you want to call it, that's when we would probably want to entertain a neighborhood center specific zoning.
I would like to voice my opinion as to what I think a neighborhood center is. It draws on the people that live within the probably the 5 mile radius of where they are. When you say business center to me, it says, whoopee, people from Renton are going to come up and buy specials at this store, or from Bothell, or from Redmond, or other things. And there's just not the right kind of streets on 108th and 68th to support a lot of outside traffic coming in. Okay, I see Rick's going, I'll be
no, I don't think, I think we all feel the same way about trying to attract regional business.
I would just say 5 miles is even cast a little bit large.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if we're looking at just, walkable.
Go ahead, Angela.
Excuse me, just to clarify, the point is that I think you do have a lot of concerns, and so do citizens.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're saying this needs more study, and there isn't the time to do that as part of the comp plan.
Exactly.
So what we're saying is let's don't make any changes to it right now, because we do need to talk about all these issues. Let's wait and talk about it after the comp plan is completed.
Yeah. And I think that's going to go a long way towards helping the folks both in Central Houghton and Lakeview, the whole Houghton area, and
Everest.
The folks in Everest really feel as if they have been heard, that the city is paying attention to them, and that their process is being given due consideration.
That's what we're hoping.
I think that would go a long way towards
that. Yeah, and
having said all of that, I just want to remind you, as you probably already know, we do have a discontinuity right now between the neighborhood plan that was adopted a few years ago and the zoning in terms of the height. And so that's really what initiated, I think, what these folks who submitted the CARs were all worried about.
I understand that, but it also says in the plan that nothing would get changed until, they had...
Mr. Markle, who's head of
the Houghton Center.
Houghton Center, totally understands that, and he's totally understands that it's better for him to wait on this.
Yeah, he's supporting the waiting until
plus they just remodeled. It's not likely that they're going
to
do anything.
No, he didn't even want to do that. But I would like to speak a little bit to I want to thank you very much for listening. It really, really makes a difference. And because I do go to the Neighborhood Association meetings, I just want to fill you in a little bit that, you know, of course, there's rumblings in the neighborhood, and this has been discussed, and you would have been very proud of some of our Central Houghton people assaging people's freakouts and saying, no, no, we have a vision, and it's going to happen, it's going to be nice. But I just want you know that right now the neighborhood associations are talking about reaching out together to sort of start visioning together before you, the city, initiates something so that Everest people can start that process on their own and kind of get geared up to thinking about it. So maybe hopefully they are bringing some things to the table instead of waiting for the city to just bring it to them. So that's the goal, is that maybe the neighborhood associations can all sit down together and say, okay, this is what we want to see for this area, you know, and maybe if it's this way on that side, it doesn't have to be the same way on the other side. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what everybody was afraid of, is, oh, because Houghton said this, like Everest has to do
right.
A so mirror development.
Right.
Is that the affected neighborhood in the so-called five-mile zone, or is that through CAN for all the neighborhoods? No,
this is Everest, just the Central Houghton Neighborhood Association.
Just two neighborhoods. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Just those two.
Just two.
Right. Just those two.
And if I may, a couple of things that were important to me as I did the business thing is I had made a note that I think it's really important that our council, as part of a public record, reinforce that we were 100% behind the Central Houghton neighborhoods plan, that everything wait until the Everest neighborhood plan happened. I have heard that some people felt like we kind of threw them under the bus because we promoted this before them. That was not the case. Glad to see that was restated in your report. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But just to make sure that it is a part of a reinforced part of the public record, mm-hmm. is that we were absolutely 100% in favor of waiting for the Everest.
I mean, that was one of the first policies in our plan, is that we would wait.
And that, I think, the goals and objectives, I'd made a big note about the conflicts, Eric, and I think the goals and objectives as part of the neighborhood plan don't really conflict, and correct me if I'm wrong, don't really conflict with the master plan because they're not codified yet. Or it's just the goals and objectives are in conflict, and the comprehensive plan goes further than that, right?
The goals and objectives in the comprehensive plan are in conflict with the zoning.
Yeah, that's what I would
there is,
say.
There is no master plan.
The zoning is
well,
not particularly...
Well, I meant the comprehensive plan.
Yeah,
old,
yeah. Oh,
old
okay.
Terminology, sorry.
Yeah.
The zoning really, A, isn't a particularly pedestrian-oriented zoning, and B, it really doesn't practically allow you to get up to the five stories that the comprehensive plan envisions.
Yeah, unless you're 20 feet wide and set way back. Yeah.
But yeah. Right. But there's quite a bit of development that can happen under the current plan.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so.
Just with the zoning we have now.
Oh, with the zoning, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I do think when we get to the neighborhood plan discussion, we need to take a look and make sure they are working together to meet the vision. So that's... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would say, I'll just... can't resist this. And, Elsie, kind of in response to your comment... I agree with your vision of what the neighborhood center should be, but from a regulatory point of view, it's really hard to prevent people from going from one place to another. I live two blocks away in a little tiny neighborhood business district that has a pet store that I know attracts people from a broad area, and it just is the way it is. You know.
Well, so you know, I didn't mean it to, in that sense. Yeah. What I meant was maybe. There are certain businesses that attract people from long distances away.
Right, right.
You know. So I can't put in my pot store?
Yeah.
Oh, I think every neighborhood needs one of those, doesn't it? Okay. Bill's just sitting there just...
That was a big...
Bill, I was joking. Okay.
All right.
Any other questions? I want to make sure just that if I read this correctly, it says as soon as possible after you complete the comp plan update, you're going to initiate an update of the Everest Neighborhood Plan and consider the entire Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center. So are you planning on doing – do you see that happening simultaneously? Do you see it happening after they do their update, then we'll do the – we'll have the Houghton Everest Center, or have you even gotten that far in the thought process?
I don't think we've gotten that far yet. I think it's important that Everest has a chance to come up with their vision, but we may be doing that at the same time as we're looking. We don't know yet.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just as long as we're partnering in the process. So. Yeah.
One of the other things that came up in our meeting that was a discussion that the mayor, I think it was the mayor, asked, is there a possibility that Everest, to reduce the scope of the neighborhood plan, focus solely on the neighborhood area, and that's it, to really limit their neighborhood plan. Mm-hmm. And that piece, along with the Houghton plan, could maybe be finished and go together, and this could move together, and then do the balance of the neighborhood plan at a later time.
Absolutely, it's possible, yeah.
I don't know if Amy mentioned
it. I've also heard from neighbors in both areas that there's some concern that if that is done, that they're not looking at it in the context of what's going to be happening with the greater neighborhood. So there's some danger with that as well.
Yeah, and I think that we did try to do that about a year and a half ago, and there were some concerns.
Right.
So we'd have to be sure that everybody was comfortable with that, I guess.
I would say we're going to have a discussion. We're going to, involving you as well, I'm sure, on sort of how... To what extent can we do neighborhood plans the way we've been doing them, and how are we going to do them, and how do we set up a process that allows us to keep them current and valid? So,
in an efficient manner.
In an efficient manner, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we obviously have been failing at that, so we've got to come up with some better thoughts on that.
Angela, you said that Marco was aboard. What about the other property owners?
Well, the only other property owner is Doug Waddell. He has concerns because, as I understand it, at least one of the pieces of property that he owns, for various reasons, he needs to decide what he's going to do with sooner than we would probably have the results of all this. So that's a concern for him. But I mean, so he'd rather a decision now. But you know, he's been told that he knows this is the recommendation, I guess I would say, but he's has concerns. So
Doug Waddell certainly needs to be applauded because he has been extremely participatory, extremely understanding, very patient, a model citizen.
And
so has Tom. He's been here.
And the sad thing that in our discussions with Amy and Penny is that there's an opportunity there for a connection to the Cross Kirkland Trail through with his property that we may lose by deferring this action, and that's a real sad consequence of the way this whole thing plays out. And I don't know where we go from there, but it's beyond our. I mean, we can't really initiate anything there. But
I mean, that's true. It's a beautiful place for that, but right across the street there's also ways to connect to the Cross Kirkland Trail when the Everest side develops.
It's not completely, I understand. Okay, thank you, Angela.
So I take it you agree with this recommendation.
I guess we should make it official. I don't think there's any question, but
don't do anything. I'll go with
what does anybody object to the recommendation from the Planning Commission and the City Council?
No, but Rick, I have one more question.
Speak into the mic, please.
Yeah, I do, and I'll speak to the mic. I'm a little uneasy about the regulations that are going to be set in for citywide when it comes time for Everest and Central Houghton to make their decisions about the neighborhood center. Are we going to be bound by those?
Just to clarify, they won't be regulations. We're not proposing that we change the zoning code at this time. We'll be looking at goals and policies in the comp plan. They'll be more general, So I don't know how to answer that exactly. It depends on what the goals and policies are, but any changes, they'll come back.
We'll be part of the process.
Yeah, I mean, you, if you don't,
they can't impose this on us without us. Yeah. We'll be part of the process.
If you don't like them, you would, you know.
Yeah, we'll see them.
So let's see how, we'll just have to see how it all turns out.
Okay,
and,
John?
And I would like to add, I'm reading on page 6 in the lower right-hand corner, page 4, where it says staff option 4 recommendations. Mm-hmm. The second paragraph under that, where it says evaluate business districts, that the word business districts either be stricken or further clarified that it is the neighborhood specific plan, something to that effect. So it doesn't just say business.
But again, to clarify, we're not just
to clarify.
Right, I understand, but we're going to be looking at various business districts. So, in other words, we're not just going to be looking at neighborhood centers. We're going to be
Understood. Okay.
Okay.
Specifically to our situation.
I think this all comes back to, and I don't have the whole comp plan in front of me, but like there were these specific designations. Here's an urban center. Here's a business something, and here's a neighborhood thing, and I think now we're getting our terms kind of. So that's what I think. We just want to make sure what's in capital letters and what's in lowercase letters.
Okay.
I would entertain a motion to support the recommendation of the Planning Commission when this is all presented to the City Council at their meeting on September 16th.
I will so move.
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Aye. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Any administrative reports? All right. Then with that,
we're done.
Meeting adjourned. Thanks,
Angela, I must tell you, this was extremely concise, easy to read. The attachments, I mean, this was so easy to go through.
Good.
Perfect.
Thank
nice
you.
Job.
Well done.
Very, very well done.